Our reading this morning is from the book of Judges. If you'd like a Bible, the stewards are walking around now. It can be found on page 256 and then on page 259 in the church Bibles. Judges chapter 13 and then Judges chapter 16. The birth of Samson. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah, named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you eat no, and do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Now moving to chapter 16. Samson and Delilah. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn we will kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength, and how we can overpower him, so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength, and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I will become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me, how can you be tied?" He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "All this time you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me, how can you be tied?" He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. Again she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He woke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day, until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite, dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more, he has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He woke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he didn't know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him grinding corn in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer great sacrifice to Dagon their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we try to understand your word and its implications for our lives, we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I guess that Samson is one of the hardest characters in the Bible to understand. He has been compared to Tarzan, to James Bond, to Superman. But my guess is that if you know anything about him at all, you will know him as Victor Mature, because he starred as Samson in Cecil B. DeMille's 1949 film Samson and Delilah, which won 2 Oscars. I looked it up in my Radio Times film guide and found this. Victor Mature stars as the biblical hero, while Hedy Lamarr, I'd never heard of her before, but she was an Austrian actress and also an inventor. Hedy Lamarr brings a gorgeous woodenness to the role of Delilah. And then he goes on to say, the fight with the lion is so lousy, it's brilliant. If you were a Jewish child, you would have been taught to say, Samson the hero. He is a hero in the Bible. But my guess is that a lot of us don't know a great deal about Samson. So with apologies to the reduced Shakespeare company, I intend to tell you his life story in approximately 60 seconds. You'll have to listen hard. Samson was the 12th judge of Israel, sent by God to begin that country's deliverance from her current enemies, the Philistines. He was the oldest son of a couple who had received an angelic visitation, informing them that from birth he was destined to be dedicated to God as a lifelong Nazarite. This means being forbidden all alcohol and all contact with dead bodies and not being allowed to have his hair cut. He broke all 3 conditions. He was a man of superhuman strength. Besides slaughtering 1,000 Philistines single-handedly with a dead donkey's jawbone, he ripped a live lion apart with his bare hands, found some honey in the carcass, and told a riddle about it. He robbed and murdered 30 men in Ashkelon. He married but lost his wife to his best man. He went with at least one prostitute. He burnt up Philistine fields by letting loose in them 300 foxes with burning brushes. He carried off the huge city gates of Gaza on his back for over 30 miles. He became infatuated with Delilah, who betrayed him by cutting off his hair and removing his strength. He was blinded, shackled, and forced to work at a mill. And he caused his own death and the deaths of 3,000 others by pushing down the pillars of a Philistine temple and making it collapse. He is included in the list of heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. Okay. He's an enigma, to say the least. What I'd like to do is to see if we can picture in our minds four little snapshots of Samson, taken at different points during his life. So we'll start with him as a youngster. So this is from Judges chapter 13 and verse 24. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanadan. So the angel has come to this couple, Manoah and his wife, and has forecast that Samson will have a great destiny. He'll be a Nazarite, and we've seen what that means. He'll be a judge, that is, a leader of Israel, and he will begin to deliver Israel from her enemies. So here we have a little snapshot of Samson as a boy. His name, incidentally, means sunshine. And I can imagine him as a fairly strong youngster and independent and certainly full of promise. And as his mum would say, the sun shines out of his eyes. And he's blessed by God and empowered by God's Spirit. So there's our first little snapshot of him. Now we come to just a few years later, and this from Judges chapter 15 and verse 16, where Samson says, "With a donkey's jawbone I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone I have killed 1,000 men." So this is a few years later, and Samson has managed to slaughter 1,000 Philistines with a donkey's jawbone. And it's a fresh jawbone, we're told, and therefore it's got all its teeth. And to celebrate the fact that he's done this, he's made up a little poem. It's not great poetry, but we can picture the poet, a wild, rather sweaty man, covered with blood and surrounded by corpses. And we may well ask, on the strength of this little snapshot, is he criminally insane? Incidentally, just to say something about the Philistines, the old enemies of Israel, they originally came from Crete, and they raided Canaan and gave it the name Palestine. They were a military race and prodigious beer drinkers. Now, our third snapshot comes from chapter 16 and verse 19, where we're told that Delilah, after putting him to sleep on her lap, called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair and so begin to subdue him, and his strength left him. So here we have him asleep on his beloved's lap. Delilah is the only woman he's ever truly loved. He's lusted after a good many, but she is the love of his life, and she's waiting to betray him to the Philistines, who are just outside the door. It's a rather poignant picture, to my mind. I see him as, although a great hunk of a man, a rather confused little boy, asleep on her lap, and he's about to be arrested, and he's going to be blinded in a rather cruel way, and he'll be enslaved and made to work at a mill. It's a poignant picture. The last snapshot comes from chapter 16 again in verse 28, where we're told that in the temple, Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more. So this picture is of Samson between the pillars of the great temple to Dagon, and he is praying to the God of Israel to remember him. And what will happen is that his strength will return as his hair grows, and he will commit suicide by pushing the pillars of the temple. The whole thing falls down, and 3,000 leading Philistines are killed. So there's our last little snapshot of this man between the pillars. Actually, I'm reminded of 9/11 or 7/7 and suicide bombers, and I ask myself, is Samson a religious extremist? I wonder what these four snapshots of this man add up to. He's a child of promise, as we saw in the first snapshot, but he ends up, it seems, as a crazy, mixed-up kid. And he has a tragic death. And you might say, well, life's like that. Some people do go that way. It's very sad. But you see, the complication is, he's God's man. We've got to make sense of that somehow. And I find myself asking all sorts of questions, inevitably. What do we make of Samson? Is he a weirdo? He certainly seems to be a loner, but he's also a brutal maniac, as someone's called him, an oversexed buffoon. And yet, in biblical terms, he's a hero. He's God's man for such a time as that. There's a poet called John Milton who wrote Paradise Lost, as you probably know, but he also wrote a long poem about Samson, and it contains this line in Old English. Samson hath quit himself like Samson, and heroically hath finished a life heroic. So Milton saw him as a hero. But if we can't make much sense of Samson, what about Samson's God? For here is the God who chooses Samson as Israel's deliverer, empowers him by his spirit, and yet the result is pretty peculiar. And he has him named as a hero of faith in Hebrews 11, as I've already said, and he's alongside the big boys like Abraham and Moses and David, and there's Samson, the odd nut. And what do we make of the story? Is it a comedy? Or is it a tragedy? I used to think that it was an example of biblical humour. And if you read the story in the Good News version, say, or any modern, really modern translation, it is very funny, oddly enough. What's it doing in Scripture? I find myself thinking there is something about Samson. He's extravagantly human. He's got this superhuman strength, and yet he's anguished, he's agonized. Milton's poem is called Samson Agonistes, and he reminds me, I suppose, of someone strong, someone gifted, but tormented inside, or someone who seems to have everything and yet is inwardly lost, still just a little boy or a little girl. Or someone who's surrounded by people, friends and family and so on, but feels all alone. You know that there was a report in the paper this last week of a statistic from the Office for National Statistics, saying that a new attempt to measure the well-being of the British population has discovered that only 58% of Britons feel connected to people in their community. And one in eight do not have a close friend they could rely on in a personal crisis. And one article went on to say, only Germans are less friendly than the British. So there must be an awful lot of tormented people around. People who look okay on the outside, but there's a lot of stirring going on the inside. So maybe Samson, as it were, represents people with messed up lives. His life is messed up, and partly it's his own fault. He's a womanizer. He's brutal. He's silly. You know that he kills the lion with his bare hands, and then he comes back to the carcass and founds that bees have been swarming in it and producing honey there. So he collects some honey out of the carcass and goes it and gives it to mum and dad. It's a rather odd thing to do. It's horrible. But you see, I think part of his mess up is not his own fault. For example, he has no say in his destiny. It's all worked out for him before he's conceived, let alone before he's born. He's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be Israel's deliverer. He's going to have superhuman strength. It's all his fate, as it were. It's fixed for him. And the poor chap can't live up to the expectations that his parents have got for him, nor can he live up to the expectations God has for him. So what happens is, although he's called to deliver Israel, in fact, he spends his time pursuing personal vendettas. He's a tragic figure, a man with inner turmoil, inner anguish, what you might call personal demons at work inside him. I wonder whether you know anyone like that. I was thinking as I prepared of the number of times I've sat in this church and in other churches alongside people who had something to share. And very often it was to do with inner demons, torments, lying hidden in the heart. And yet the extraordinary fact about Samson is that God is with him and even wants to use him in his service. I would think of this as God's strange work. And the older I get, the less I understand about God. He is a complete mystery. But here we have God choosing the most unlikely person in his service. For here is Samson, unconventional, unfaithful, undisciplined, not respectable. As someone has said, he seems so unlike an evangelical Christian. But I take heart from Samson. Someone in America said this. I won't put on an American accent. Our God recruits bums. Join the club. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a man like Samson in the Bible. A bit unlikely, Lord. Not like us. And yet, Lord, maybe there is something of Samson in us. Something hidden deep down, which torments us. We thank you that you are the God who loves all people, even the weird, even the tormented. We think of Jesus loving tormented people in Galilee. And thank you that Jesus loves tormented people in Reigate. We pray, dear Lord, that we may recognize God's love for us and for each other, and may know deep in our innermost being that we are not rejected. We are always being accepted by our strange, loving God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.